Kia ora and welcome to the Whole Tooth Aotearoa NZ, a podcast for oral health professionals made by oral health professionals. Here, we will share the kaupapa of the oral health profession in Aotearoa, where we will seek to speak the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the truth.
System change prevention, workforce development, and giving the mana back to our people and who we need to uplift their voice and let them determine what oral health really looks like.
No mai haere mai to Anne-Marie Maikuku, Māori Oral Health Practitioner and Strategic Funding Lead for Oral Health for CLEAR. Fantastic podcast ahead. Sit back and enjoy. The Whole Tooth Aotearoa NZ is sponsored by the CLEAR Foundation. The CLEAR Foundation is a progressive philanthropic organisation that wants more for our people and our planet. They're proactively acting in ways to positively influence our environment, oral health, youth, wellbeing and women to create extraordinary change. You can find them at www.clear.nz. That's CLEAR, C-L-A-R-E. Tēnā koe, Anne-Marie. Thank you so much for joining us. And I've learned a special sentence in Te Reo Māori that is going to thank you for your support and your āwhi of me and my growth as an oral health professional. So Anne-Marie, ngā mihi e tō takotoko i a au. Thank you so much for supporting me. So tēnā koe and welcome to the Whole Tooth Aotearoa NZ. I am so excited to talk to you today and hear all the amazing things that you're doing for oral health and your work within CLEAR as well. So
welcome. Kia ora. Yeah, morena, kia ora. Thank you for having me, Becky. Yeah, e mihi kau ana ki a koe hoki.
Beautiful te reo. Yes, we can talk about that as well, that you are a teacher of the reo and, yeah, you're empowering others to learn a new language and, yeah, that's also a really amazing thing that you're doing. So take it away, Anne-Marie. Tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, kia ora. E tuatahi. E mihi kau ana ki a koutou katoa kua ariari mai tō tātou taringa kei runga i tēnei podcast. Ko te mea te o tahi ki tātua nāna nei ngā mea katoa ki kingi tū hei te me te kāhui ari ki rire hau paimari re. Ngā mate kua whiturangi te haere atu rā. Ngā ora kei wainga nui a tātou, tēnā tātou katoa. Ko ai tēnei, tau ana ki runga i te tirohanga o kāwhia, te tiro whakararo ki te rangatiro o tōku marae ko au ki te rangi ke makutu. E takahi atu au ki te whakapapo o tagi te korowhiti a te herenga o tainui waka ki te wahi o kāwhia. E rere kau ana ki runga o kāwhia moana ki ngā wahi o te tai hauaru, ko te waitere, ko te maika, ara ko honepaka e kaukau ana ki roto i ngā ngaru o paparoa tai atu ki a wai o hipa. Tēnā koe taku au a kumiti wai. E noho ana au ki runga i taku whenua taurikura o Ngāti Mahuta ki te tai hauaru, te wahi o te taharoa rua putahanga. Tēnā koutou ngā marae, tēnā korua ngā marae, ko aruka ko te koraha. Ko te whānau whitiora i te taho o tōku papa, ko te whānau maikuki i te taho o tōku mama, i tupu ake au ki raru i te koro wai aroha o te hapuri o Taharoa, tōko whā ngā tamariki, ko Shana Hepi tōku hua rangatira, ko Anne-Marie Maikuku ahau. Morena e te iwi.
Oh, morena, ngā mihi for that beautiful, beautiful introduction. And please feel free to then translate that a little for me, as I understood a very small amount.
Yeah, e mihi ka tiki ki a koe, Becky, te ata nei, Rebecca, Māori and Associates, and those who have paved my way as I have come to be. For that, first of all, we always mihi to the greater creation. I'm full and blessed to what we have today. And we also, along the way, because of my tribal roots here in Tainui, always pay my homage to our kingitanga, and that goes back many centuries also. In alignment to where we are today. We also acknowledge those who have passed, they are bereaved, how they've played a significant life for all of us and pay homage to their passing. May that be years ago, months ago, days ago, and then we always bring it back to our current people. And so to the listeners, to everybody that we are sharing space with in Te Aotearoa, in this well today, we also pay homage to those people. So as a part of that, I also acknowledge you, Becky, and Rebecca Marty and Associates. And as I said, how I have come to be, mm-hmm. Is all that encapsulated in our mihi and our pepeha. So there it is.
Incredible. So let's get into telling me a bit about your background and how you got started in dentistry.
Yeah, so my being, I understand my belonging, I comprehend my desires to aspire to those around me have become my inspiration. I'm a proud mokopuna carried by westerly winds, entrenched by my homelands and whakapapa. I have become a product derived from my intrinsic ecosystem of whenua ora, tangata ora, and opportunity. The centre of my epistemology is my people, experience, and whenua. Through whakapapa and my intrinsic tacit knowledge acquired, my tupuna paved a profession where people are at the core of my focus, and the transfer of my values and understandings would align. Hauora resonated deep from within my whenua and whakapapa. The inquiry, towards oral health care became more specific as I aligned aroha, manaakitanga, and whānau. I am a mokopuna of leaders. Observations I endured as a whānau, of whānau, leaders transitioning individuals, whānau, hapu, and iwi, and our whenua from vulnerability to well-being gave me pride. Therefore, I came of age realizing I wanted to combine health and education. And overnight, early 20s, the thought of a dental nurse prevailed. bizarre to some, at this stage, Tanil Wanatene, the partner of my cousin, was the only clinician within my reach who kindly invited me to Otoranga South to view 2 decades of her service. Prior to that, Henero Moiriti served our whānau out in Taharo during my childhood. And so these were probably, when I reflect back, real pivotal stalwarts of oral health who unknowingly just doing what they do every day, obviously planted a seed. From there, I always mihi to Diane Peveril for officially introducing me to the world of oral health in 2009, hiring me as a dental assistant for Waikato DHB. And then I was later inspired by Jane Winitana, who I describe as the epitome of oral health. Her aroha and gentle nature for each tamaiti set the foundation for me to aspire towards becoming an oral health therapist.
Mm-hmm.
However, navigating the big dream of becoming an oral health therapist wasn't so smooth sailing. As I mentioned, my bizarre idea of becoming an oral health therapist overnight had its challenges. And for that, you may have to read my exegesis. However, great leadership and in my time has taught me to reciprocate when given the chance, and the observations of how I've endured this of great leadership I define as underpinned manaaki tanga, regardless of status, you know, whether you're, whatever your status is in our role. And so from that, I just wanted to grow on. And that's where I'm at.
Well, that's amazing. That's a very rich, rich description of your journey towards oral health. And so that covers off really how you came, especially those inspiration, those role models. And I love how you use the word stalwart. That's such a good description of someone who is steadfast and stoic in their approach and got on with the mahi in their space and place. And you know, you can. They probably didn't even know, actually, that they, at the time, were representing your future. Mm. And it's incredible to think back. I hope they know they're a great inspiration. Do they? They know now?
I have interactions quite a lot, still seeing Tanil around here in the King Country. Mm-hmm. Diane's always a part of my journey and everything I, try and navigate in this world. So she's a great mentor. And then Jane Winitana, we have remained very close over the years. And it's awesome to see Henedo in spaces now in that management role here in our oral health sector, serving another community outside of Waikato boundaries. So, they definitely paved the way. I mean, since 2009, my journey's definitely evolved evolved significantly. But I think at the end of it, my aroha for our people still remain at the centre point of everything that I do. And as crude as it may seem, the inequalities of our people really became entrenched in me overnight. So then my responsibility then exceeded beyond my whānau and hapū of Ngāti Mahuta and became the care and welfare of Tamariki Mokopuna of the Waikato region.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I reflect in 2010, an opportunity to lead our Māori Oral Health Initiative was spoken by Diane, where myself as a dental assistant alongside Jane Winitana, who was the DT at the time, dental therapist, were given the opportunity to create and develop a mobile unit for Māori by Māori within Waikato District Health Board. Mm-hmm. And like this first experience in a professional oral health leadership role, they just definitely, I don't know, it sparked something else right there. Mm-hmm. So I think unknowing to me was the manifestation of a higher learning, which takes me to the 2 years where I found myself at Otago. And the opportunity of my desires became my reality. Mm-hmm. And so then also within my time at Otago, you know, having the privileged roles within student associations, in particular Ngā Mokai o Ngā Whetū, this thing about leadership just started to really resonate and prevail itself, along the way.
That's right. Yes, that leadership mantle seems to, once it's on your shoulders, it's hard to shake off. And I can remember, I know this is terrible to say vaguely, but I was one of the employees in the Bachelor of Oral Health program, and I do remember Anne-Marie, and she was studious and, a fantastic leader and role model within the class. And, you know, it always warms my heart when I see someone and all, you know, the undergraduates grow throughout their clinical space and time with when I was employed at Otago. And then they carry on and do wonderful things, not just in Aotearoa, but globally. And you always think like, maybe I did something right at that time. You know, maybe there was something along, I helped them along that one or two steps in their journey towards their greatness and their potential. And that certainly gives me encouragement to, continue along the path of empowering others. But yeah, you did your 2 years, 3 years?
3 years down there.
And then off you go back to the Waikato, was it?
Yeah, well, my time down there was definitely, again, I can't help but really encourage tauira who are at university now to listen to the words of the likes of Alison Meldrum, where she really encouraged us to take the opportunity of interdisciplinary relationship. Mm. Not only that, not only between our disciplines, but, you know, within our, as you say, teaching stuff and everything, because also down there in my third year, I was lucky enough to become a mother, you know, and so being in our third year and everything's happening and giving birth in August, and you know that you're up to your finals in November, I think by having those early relationships, I really need to mihi back to the university for creating a space for me to carry on with my studies, you know, right down to rescheduling schedules for placement so that we could have Maya J, in which her second name is Te Waipounamu, and then returning back to Otago, where they were able to set up for me, you know, the proper facilities to care for Maya J during those interims of studying at the same time. So I'm always grateful for that.
Yeah, and just that's I do remember you being pregnant, but there was a few people that got pregnant, so my fuzzy memory doesn't remember that. But that's a significant point in your journey as well. You're trying to complete a degree, but you're also taking those first few steps as becoming a mother. So highly significant life events, and you did it. And it's amazing that you felt you had the support and all the things you needed to complete your degree as well. So, you know, that is also another amazing part of your journey. Then we move on to what were your first clinical practice years like? What was that experience like for you? Did you come back to the Waikato?
Yeah, so I was able to return to the mobile unit in which...
NDU1, yes.
Yeah, Te Pau Wakanu Tuatahi, in which, you know, I was able to create alongside Jane Winitana. And so the transition for me back into the Waikato was nothing unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And I think I came back with a whole lot of other learnings from Otago. For example, I acknowledged the work of Mace Te Whare Tapawha, or Ta Mace and Jury. Should one side of the four dimensions be missing or in some way damaged, a person or a collective may become unbalanced. And so coming back with all this different mātauranga from down there and navigating my indigenous epistemology within oral health really excited my return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can attest to the beautiful mobile dental unit. I had a visit there in my time in the Waikato, and just to see how it was just an extended part of the kura, and how the children there and the staff were, the manaaki was amazing. Did I say that right? Yeah, like the hospitality and when you go into that unit, the spirit, the wairua of that space is such a warm and inviting space, and I can imagine it wonderful for the children that attend there. And the whānau, that they're feeling like they've got a place and a space to go. Mm. So, that's a really rich part of your history to say because it's I know that's something that Tash was talking about, that that's a dream of hers to be back on that unit and continue that lineage of
success. Maybe I think that what really resonated towards the succession of Te Pau Wakaniho being, I want to say, still successful to today, is taking it back to the community and having proper consultation. You know, what is it in Kura Kaupapa that our people want to see? What do you want to hear? How do we align our principles within a DHB and combine that with, the values, the marae, the guidelines of our Kura Kaupapa? And so having that consultation and our whānau actually being a part of that process is integral to establishing anything, I think, when it comes to community kaupapa. And so for that, again, you can't help but thank Diane for giving us the autonomy to navigate this creation in our own indigenous way of being, which really,
incredible. I think I'm saying that so much. Incredible. Well, it is, because it's such an incredible story. So you've spent your years doing some clinical work, and then you move forward in the professional sense to take another opportunity, and that is CLEAR. Could you tell us a little bit about how that came to fruition?
Yeah, I think my learnings from within oral health service delivery and the learnings actually from He Waka Hiringa, Masters of Applied Indigenous Knowledge, really illuminated my need to provide more. As a Māori oral health kaimahi, I'm consistently reflecting to refine our ways of improving oral health outcomes. So through my learnings at that master's levels, I quickly established my model of practice, in which is underpinned, which I call ANI. And that is all about, I strive to share the same equilibrium, he awa kiwi, he awa kawe rau of Mobile Dental Unit 1, he oranga niho, to really come to where I have. Also having the support of Te Ao Marama, the New Zealand Dental Association executives, who encouraged me to pursue the role with CLEAR. I think positioned me in a stance to be brave. And therefore the curiosity of implementing transformative notions to achieve better oral health outcomes at a national living, whilst living within my own values of whanaungatanga, working alongside mana wahine, challenging the status quo, and still holding on to the notion of I derive as a mukupuna of ngai Māori who are faced with inequity. Within my reality daily. So this really elevated my need to respond and not to react and stay underpinned by manaakitanga, to understand my role as a servant to my people. Therefore, I suppose applying for the job at Clear, knowing that this impression that I could make remains for generations still to come. And so it's all about, I suppose, learning the new environment of philanthropy landscape along the way and building lifelong relationships with amazing people and where system change has now become part of our everyday vocabulary. And as I say, the notion of mokopuna decisions has come to life through the investor partnerships, to name a few of the exciting opportunities that I've been able to invest in as I apply for my role at the Clear Foundation nearing the end of my master's at Te Wānanga o Aotearoa.
Yeah, so we'll talk. I'd love to talk a bit more about your master's, but first we'll just talk about Clear. Could you just share with us, for those listeners that don't know, what is Clear?
Yeah, so lucky enough, Clear Foundation is a obviously a family whānau foundation that was established in 2020 from our founder, who was once a BDS graduate from Otago University. And so that's where the focus of oral health comes as one of her strategic visions. Clear Foundation, you know, seeks to invest in solutions that improve oral health outcomes. The focus is relatively unique to philanthropy in Aotearoa, where there hasn't been a specific focus on oral health. However, there has been focus around health in general. Clear's oral health priority, I should say, recognises that good oral health, particularly from childhood, is a significant driver of wider health and social outcomes across the life course of Aotearoa. So I suppose now successful as the Clear Foundation Oral Health Strategic Lead, over time, Clear has been working to develop more upstream opportunities in that system change space, and where we look to invest in solutions, as mentioned, to that improves oral health outcomes, including prevention, promotion, research, advocacy, to really, I hope, leverage or pull on levers, dial the dial and all of that, so that we can make change, because we're a spend down foundation with a time frame of 8 to 10 years. So there's that component, but also we know in the history of oral health here in Aotearoa, well, my understanding is that you were either publicly funded or you're private. And so part of this new role that came to be that I was privileged to be the candidate for in 2022 was really from 2022 to even now is navigating the oral health system in a way that we can be intentional but still putting up our hand to say, have you considered philanthropy as a funding agent, resourcing agent, but also having a stance that really holds our government accountable to the responsibility that they have for our population also. So, yeah, this foundational year, I think, is all about networking, where relationships are at the heart of Clear's approach towards achieving this goal of better oral health outcomes, and that's where we are today.
Oral health is integral to the health of the nation, and unfortunately it seems to have dropped off the motu somewhere, the Pacific Ocean. Being able to have you in this space, or your role in this space, to be able to bring these conversations forward, there might be, I think there are opportunities for dreams to be realised, as opposed to, well, this is the status quo, we don't see any way forward. So yeah, I think it's really exciting that you can have these conversations and provide these opportunities for practicing clinicians, for researchers, for anyone with vested interests in improving oral health. You know, you provided Rebecca Marty and Associates with a wonderful opportunity to resource us with some funding in order to get on with what we hope to do in this space, and that is around advocacy and sharing the story and the kaupapa of the oral health profession. So, yes, a big ngā mihi to Clear. They have been foundational in the setting up of Rebecca Marty and Associates, and we're extremely thankful. But this podcast is about you, Anne-Marie, so we'll get back to that. are some of the findings that you've that you can share with us around your sort of networking and needs assessment of the last few years? Are there some breakthroughs or some sticking points that you want to share with us that you know, our listeners might be able to take something away and think, oh yeah, I could add to that conversation, or I could give Anne-Marie a call?
So because of us being in our first foundational year, I think that there's a willingness within our oral health sector to make change. I think that the responsibility, or one of the considerations I could say for us at CLEAR, is how do we provide a space or provide capacity for those who are willing to change the dial here in the oral health sector? How do we provide a space to build their capacity? You know, my observations are that we're still positioned as a response to the ambulance at the end of the cliff still. So how do I, support that notion of transitioning that kind of thinking up to policy system change where we can really influence? And then how do we also give the mana back to our people to put oral health back onto their priority agenda as an agenda, not only within whānau, but also hapu iwi, for them to also be thinking about oral health? I think significant trends are definitely still remain around service delivery. We need to, create opportunities to think about prevention a little bit more. As we say, you know, you can't help but go to conferences when people are still speaking about this as a preventable disease, oral health being. But yet, where is our stance? Where is our focus groups to really uplift that notion of prevention? I still get caught up. I was lucky enough to do some mahi on Te Pau Waka Niho Tuatahi and look at succession planning, where I'm most passionate about, I think, is about our workforce development and provide a space for those year 12, 13 students who put their hands up, who were interested in oral health as a career, and make kind of like a 10-week career pathway opportunity working alongside the National School of Correspondence. So I think that there's still a lot of mahi that could be developed within that space of workspace development is also. So those are some significant trends that we want to definitely be invested or show interest towards. So system change, prevention, workforce development, and giving the mana back to our people, and who we need to uplift their voice and let them determine what oral health really looks like.
Well, you're preaching to the converted here. Anything to do with system change, prevention, and returning mana and autonomy to the people is certainly gets me sitting up straight in my chair. I just had a thought when you were talking about the year 13 or 12, 13. Well, you're thinking about offering them opportunity to see what life might be like working within a clinical space, and that if this is something that interests them, providing those educational support or opportunities to move towards being ready for an oral health degree. Because I'm fairly sure that once you get accepted into an oral health degree, there's multiple opportunities for support. And, you know, I've learnt that from talking to Tash. I've referred to you again, Tash. Sorry, you're famous now. You know, hearing the supports that you can be provided with if you need help with being away from your whānau, or being, you know, even having better opportunities to do more work from your home. Because isn't that what we want? People to go back to where they want to live and work and play. And, yeah, it just seems like a no-brainer. But I know that we're a little bit fixed with where our training institutions are, but Yeah, I love the idea that there's other ways of doing things. There's other ways of teaching, other ways of learning, but starting that process younger so that we are creating that succession and, you know, recruitment of people who want to work within their communities.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think that this takes an opportunity to really acknowledge our AUT kaimahi up there, you know, Karen Lawson and her work with PIP up in Northland DHB to create this trailblazing initiative about these satellite clinics, you know. It's really, I know for other parts of Aotearoa, it's really provoked some forethought to those ones who are somewhat out of reach of, you know, I'm thinking rural, but it's really provoked some, I think, transformative discussions about where we could be leading. And so, yeah, I just wanted to take this time to give a mihi to Karen and her work. But not only that, to Susan also down in Otago, I know that she provides a lot of support for those initiatives to take place also. So there's a real collaboration going between AUT and Otago University that I don't think that we've ever seen before. So for those who are in those leadership roles to look at this and how they can approach this collaboratively, I think really takes a stance on how we should be working throughout our sector. You know, like, I was born into a village, so this whole concept of working collaboratively isn't foreign to me. And I also want to, in this time, Becky, if I can, acknowledge the candidates who applied for the role at Clare, in which I lay a tono inviting them to wānanga with me because, you know, they have a passion. They display a passion for oral health towards the goal of achieving better oral health outcomes. And I think collectively we can make positive impact within the landscape of oral health in Aotearoa. I'm only one voice, you know, and I'm working at a national scale. So I really want to, mihi out to the candidates who applied for this Clare role and just thank them for their bravery for putting themselves out there first and foremost. When we're in an environment that, you know, we love and we thrive in, why would we consider other roles? But that's just the way our life is paved out. And so, yeah, I'll leave that tono there. And if they're listening, know my haramai ki te pare o Clare.
Yeah, well, that is just, you know, that's where conversations we've been having quite regular little hui's to talk and bounce ideas off each other. And this is where I feel that my life is, professional life and personal life, has been enriched by having these conversations with Anne-Marie. And as she invites colleagues who want to have these conversations around improving oral health that's outside the box or shifting the dial, that, you know, reach out to, you know, send me a direct message. I can get that to Anne-Marie, or we'll leave some details when we publish this podcast. I'm excited about creating a platform for people such as that who have a great passion for oral health and want to be having those higher-level conversations, want to be having their voice shared amongst a wider audience. Because I think we're so interconnected, but we're so disconnected, and I think that that's a problem, and that not all the right voices are getting to be talked to in the one space at the one time. I wonder that one last thing I'd like to speak to you about is, how do you see your ideal picture of provision of oral health services evolving over the next 10 years? What would you hope to see achieved in your tenure at Clare if you had a magic wand?
I think that we've got to come back to what is our purpose, right? And our purpose is going to dictate and guide where we need to go. And for me, it's always to be a servant of our people. And so with the notion of that, I think that we... my aspirations, I should say, would be to create a multidisciplinary healthcare system where our whānau thrive and want to be a part of that healthcare system. where their prejudice is somewhat nurtured in a way, and also where cultural safety, mātauranga Māori, is embedded throughout those policies to help navigate that healthcare system. Because at the end of the day, since 1840, the dismal oral health outcomes for my people have not changed. And so I sit in a stance of mana motu hake and think, why is that? And who are the leaders to make these aspirations really come to life? Because, you know, once our underserved are served, we're all served. And so we all, if you want to use that word of win, but we all come out as better people. And so a healthcare system that has hearts and minds nurtured in this transition, I think that that'll be a lovely place to be at. Inequity reality, I just shake my head at, because we're still speaking the history, right? And I think that's the biggest aspiration, is to stay serving to the kaupapa at hand. I think to segue into our next, you know, he awa kiritahi, one thing that really resonates throughout my whole transition since 2009 really came from my masters, and I quote Pihame or from the Mana Wahine series, and it's only a snippet to echo where I've come to be to wrap up this section of our podcast in respect to your latest question about where we want to be. And it starts off, Ngā Māori kura, stand strong in your connectedness to your whare tapawha, ensuring the balance in all things, that duality of all things, the caring for not just self, though you must start there, but for you, for all, you must live this life of ngai wahine ma, ngai kuia ma, it must be lived. Experience for you cannot teach unless you are practicing. It is urgent. And so, yeah, I think that that's some thinking around where I stand for myself, how I bring on the past, who have paved my way to be, but also what does mokopuna decisions really prevail.
Well, Anne-Marie, that was one of the most deep and enriching conversations I have had on this podcast. I feel like I shall go away and have a cup of tea and let those words melt into my heart. You're an incredible human being and incredible wahine toa for oral health in Aotearoa. And I can't wait to hear about your research and your Masters of Indigenous Studies and your learnings from that, and how I think as a profession we can look to your learnings and your solutions as part of the, you know, pathway forward.
As I say, I just want to acknowledge to everybody who has got me to where I am today, and obviously Rebecca, Marty and Associates for the platform of letting my voice come to life on amongst the podcast, and may Clear Foundation support any kaupapa going forward that really creates better oral health outcomes for our people. My mihi to our associations, our universities, our leadership who still remain with optimism. And most of all, I'm here to our generations to come. So thank you for your time.
I'm here, Marie.
The Whole Tooth Aotearoa NZ is sponsored by the Clear Foundation. The Clear Foundation is a progressive philanthropic organisation that wants more for our people and our planet. They're proactively acting in ways to positively influence our environment, oral health, youth, well-being and women to create extraordinary change. You can find them at www.clear.nz. That's Clear, C-L-A-R-E. Go well, oral health professional friends and whānau, from us at Rebecca Amati and Associates at The Whole Tooth Aotearoa NZ.